And we are live. This is Dark Journalist. What a great crowd we have with us tonight already. And I am joined tonight by the lovely Olivia.
Hi, everybody.
And Olivia, I guess you could call this kind of UFOs in the government freak week.
I think there are going to be more freak weeks to come.
This is amazing because every time you turn around now, these guys used to be experts at really telling you not to think about this, pushing witnesses around or dusting them off or ruining people's careers. And now they're trying to drill it in your brain like you need to know it by Sunday or else the world is going to explode. There's good reason for that. And we're going to tell you how they're rushing into their perilous end game. But before we get to that, we're going to explain some of the players involved. And this, of course, has to do with so much of the UFO disclosure nonsense that's being driven in the media by the Central Intelligence Agency largely. And, of course, the real UFO disclosure being left by the wayside, and even those researchers who were so hell-bent to get their hands on that, the contact stories and all that, nope. Throw that over the cliff and run after this government UAP task force. I think the first thing that would be important to do in separating out the people who are, you know, interested in the UFO reality from, you know, the grifters and the CIA people and the media push, because, you know, nothing ever good comes from the media, I got to tell you. Just look at the injection front.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we look at it like this, the UFO file research is one thing. Using the term UAP is stupid, and that's a CIA device, so we're just dropping that use on our show. Anyone who's serious about the UFO file, the UAP is just dumb. UFO is fine for figuring these things out. They both mean the same thing. They threw this marketing label on it, just like they did Homeland for America after 9/11, and these are the types of things, the psychological devices, I think, that we just take off the board right away, and it helps us completely. But we've seen a really strong push going on here, and we need to describe the kind of anxiety that these media groups are feeling, and remember the Davos crowd behind the scenes pushing this out, because as I've stated many times, if you think the Corona op was something, just wait till they get to the UFO op. And that's what we're going to deal with tonight. Of course, they had 60 Minutes program covering UAPs and UFOs and all this stuff. And they had Elizondo going into his same routine from 3 years ago, which was falling flat then and is even flatter now. But he's all they got, apparently, him and Corbell. So they are leaking things to Corbell from the UAP task force. But I'm going to tell you a few weird things about that task force. But a lot of those things that they're leaking, you know, this is seriously terrible video. I mean, some of the worst video we've ever seen. And their explanation is, hey, you know, it's like night vision stuff, or it's gun camera, and it's a loophole and all this stuff. Well, they have really good video footage of any encounter. You know, I heard George Knapp on a news program saying that they had 14 of these like weird beach ball things swarming this USS Omaha in 2019 in San Diego. You know, if you're getting swarmed, you're going to have your... I can tell you, my camera back here, this camera would take 50 billion times better footage, okay? The Canon 70D. This thing would blow away the Tic Tac footage and all that stuff. And that's just a consumer camera, all right? So if you're in the Navy and you have to get good footage of enemies and all that stuff, you have better cameras and better footage. So they're giving this bargain basement type stuff out to create plausible deniability, which is what the CIA is known for. And the CIA's control of the UFO file over the past 75 years is why we're in this transparency, wall of secrecy, schizophrenic situation in the first place, because of all the lies and the, you know, kind of double dealing and black budget and secret finance that's been facilitated by having this completely extra constitutional force as part of the government. So now they're trying to come in as heroes and saying, we've got everything covered. And, you know, they came in a couple of different ways. They came in through the business enterprise of TTSA with this move, but they were initially coming in through the campaign of 2016, through Hillary Clinton's campaign. And we're going to explain how these things interlock and how we can really boot and identify the CIA influence around the UFO file and go into the deep research on the UFO side and completely dismiss all this other stuff that they're trying to, you know, we're going to be the ones who are going to be saying to the mainstream population who's freaking out about this stuff, you're just being run over a cliff by the Central Intelligence Agency, who's finally decided that they can get the control that they want by using the UFO file as a threat. And this is their main gig now is UFOs as 9/11. There's no doubt in my mind that's the op that we're looking at. And, you know, there's a number of other researchers who are somehow get dragged along this path, and it's really the lowest common denominator style of research. So in the end, I think, you know, it's unfortunate, let's say, that the CIA has such sway even over the field itself. We know that they're in charge of the media, but when they get into the alternative media, it is, you know, it's quite a threat, and it needs to be identified so that we can have those very clear avenues for us to study and to continue to open up around the UFO file research, which is crucial. And it forms such a main basis of what we do here on the show. Now, a couple of things I want to mention to you, which is that on Friday, we're going to be doing X-Series 101. And so tonight, we're just going to go about 90 minutes with you to cover this, because the UAP Task Force, their report, the media hype, the type of CIA shenanigans going on behind the scenes, these things, we need to identify them and to... in exposing them, really halt their stampede. And so we're not going to be stampeded on this. I also want to remind you to go to darkjournalist.com and sign up for our newsletter. That keeps us in touch in this era where they're just sort of throwing people off of social media left and right, depending on what they say. You know, they catch you picking up sticks on Saturdays, you're done. You know, thank God that we're here tonight and we have the ability to share this information with you. But it's always good to have that direct link. So make sure you go to darkjournalist.com and sign up for that free newsletter. And it's basically just going to keep us in touch. Now, there's a lot of people around the UFO file who are, you know, UFO researchers in touch, you know, this whole thing. I'm really pushing it right now. And they're getting caught up in the kind of CNN, CIA push around the UFO thing. So I want to kind of get us all on the same page about a couple of things, and in particular about TTSA and the people who spun off of it, all being a CIA operation. And I'm going to just prove that to you in less than 2 minutes. But before I do that, I want to remind you, we will take some questions at the end of the program. And what we're going to do with that, since we're not going long tonight, we'll have like a half hour QA session. How does that sound?
Sounds good.
Okay. And you can ask your questions all in caps. And Miss Olivia will be putting those together. How's the temperature out there?
Very, very positive, actually.
Good.
Very intense, very positive, very curious, inquiring minds want to know. Interesting. Tweeter Trash says, did you notice that all the major airline stocks are being shorted just like they were in the months before 9/11?
It's really interesting. And I would say that also there's a lot of 9/11 imagery. We're coming up to the 20th anniversary of 9/11. But around this UFO piece, all of the CIA agitators who are trying to push us off a cliff on this with the fear campaign of the UFO threat, they're all using 9/11 imagery. And we really need to get to the bottom of that, because what is it that they're trying to do by using 9/11 as the template for this and on the 20th anniversary? And is this the reason they're so willing to scrap the COVID op now after clinging to it like a life raft and keeping us all in lockdown prison for so long? I know here in Massachusetts, they're ending all the mandates around masks and everything else at the end of the month. And in other states, you just see it falling like dominoes. Now, some of those states have good governors that caused this, like Ron DeSantis in Florida, and certainly Kristi Noem in South Dakota and in Texas and so on. So those states were definitely leading on this. But now you see it even from the controllers. They want to get things back into roll, because if you're really going to be locked in on this UFO op, the corona stuff can't be rolling around and it can't be exposed either. I want to mention too that, and I think I forgot to tell you this, mm-hmm. but Andrew Cuomo got a $5 million book deal to write about COVID. Can you imagine? So this guy, you know, he sends all of these COVID patients into nursing home, kills all these nursing home people, and then he's out there making $5 million book on. I mean, there's something disgraceful.
Well, it's probably promised in advance. You know, yes. This is his reward.
Yeah. And there's always the carrot and the stick. You know, they have him on all of these sex charges and all this kind of stuff. But that could be, again, to distract from the main thing, just like with Bill Gates and the divorce thing. And all the things that they're trying to bring up about him now. So we're seeing a lot of weird moves by the Davos deep state crowd. And certainly on the UFO side, it's off the charts. Okay, I promised you in 2 minutes I would show you that To the Stars Academy was a CIA organization. It's pretty simple to do, actually. Now, when they came out, it was October 2017, the actual concept of all this stuff, though, was in the buildup to the election of 2016. And that is where we had a lot of very strange players behind the scene, like Podesta, who was managing Hillary Clinton's campaign. And it's quite fascinating because Hillary started using this term UAP that I started with, and which I recommend we don't use.
Hell no.
And the thing was, you know, she was coming on talk shows and saying, actually, it's UAP, ha ha, you know. And
sound just like
it was really over the top, too, because, you know, she was sort of promising all this stuff. And in the background, her campaign manager was working with DeLong and a series of inside people like Chris Mellon to get this off the ground. Now, when Trump got in, it shocked the House for sure. And they had to regroup this plan, but they decided not to wait the 4 years of his presidency, and they rushed this whole thing out, including the To the Stars Academy. Now, one of the main people behind the To the Stars Academy, and he's listed as a founder and as vice president, is Jim Semivan, who is, in their original bios, now listed CIA veteran and intelligence strategist. I want to mention that they got rid of all their original bios off of the website. There's very little there now, practically nothing. But of course, I have an incredible archive from doing shows on them for 4 years. And he is a 25-year veteran of the senior intelligence service, one of the top super spies, basically. And no indication of retirement or anything like that. He's listed here with DeLong, of course, Tom DeLong, the ex-Blink-182 singer, who founded it along with all of these spooks. And they didn't make any bones about it that they were including these intelligence people in the beginning. And when it, you know, started to be really represented, a lot of the UFO people, and, you know, when I was pointing it out and I was saying this is a CIA op, a lot of the people in the UFO field were like, you know, oh, it's not a government thing. You know, these are people trying to get to the truth. And these people, like guys like Semivan and Lou, who we're really going to get into tonight, and he's kind of taking a starring role since he ducked my debate challenge so many times. these guys were basically just the foundation of that whole thing. And, you know, they had been so deep in clandestine CIA operations for years that Elizondo, on his own resume, he's got that he worked for the intelligence director, National Intelligence Director James Clapper, personally, his personal assistant there. And he worked for John Brennan, who was the Drone King. So the main CIA brass, the top of that brass, was, you know, he was their minion, and he was doing their stuff. Now, Semivan is listed here as co-founder, board member, and VP of operations now. 25 years as operations officer for Central Intelligence Agency, Directorate of Operations. Well, he's a major CIA player. He's the top totem man on TTSA. Intelligence community consultant for training leadership, CIA tradecraft, countering weapons of mass destruction. All right, so in their own language, Jim Semivan, by the way, who didn't exist on the record until 2014. That's how secret his job was. And who really, you know, has a very unusual history that we just, you know, we don't know a whole lot about him, except that he was so deep in that clandestine operation world that there's very little trail. Also claims to have his own UFO encounters. We'll see about that. But let's take a little bit more of a look at this To the Stars Academy board. Of course, To the Stars Academy was supposed to be like this UFO disclosure corporation, and they were going to build their own spaceships. What happened to that? Weren't people investing in that? So, you know, that stuff's out the window. I have some of their financials here. The financials over $50 million in debt right now. That means they spent a lot of money getting their TV show afloat, only to land as number 50 in their time slot. And so the TV show is over. That part didn't work. So now they're pushing this part. Okay. Let's look at some of the people they have on the board here. Here's a group of them. And I'm just going to read through them. And remember, you know, my fundamental premise is that it's a central intelligence organization front with a lot of CIA people running the show. All right. Dr. Norman Kahn, former CIA counter-biological weapons program, recipient of CIA's Distinguished Career Intelligence Medal, DNI National Intelligence Service Medal, top brass in the CIA, just like Semivan. 30 years at the Central Intelligence Agency, 12 years at the Counter-Biological Weapons Program, U.S. Government National Security Consultant. This guy is so deep in that CIA apparatus. Now, let's move over to brain function and consciousness consultant. Think of that, brain function and consciousness consultant.
Yikes.
Dr. Paul Rapp, professor of military and emergency medicine at Uniformed Services University. Honors include CIA certificate of commendation for significant contributions to the mission of the Office of Research and Development. So top CIA commendation. So, you know, going through them, if you read through their various histories, they're either career CIA people or they're given commendations by CIA because of their great work for CIA. So it's a bunch of CIA people. I calculated that there's over 100 years of CIA experience on their board. So a bunch of CIA agents. Now, people who are in this, you know, milieu, and I have to mention some names just because, but people like George Knapp and Richard Dolan don't like to mention that. But these are CIA spooks, and I can't stay silent on it, and I can't stay silent on them being silent, because that would betray the job that I'm trying to do here. So let me say it without any personal grudge or anything, that, you know, the failure on the part of the UFO community to read through all these CIA people and see that they were helping to set up this kind of op here around the UFO push is pretty damaging. And I don't think that they should be welcoming these people in and treating them as real whistleblowers and all the rest. They're a bunch of, by their own admission, CIA people, and not just low-level flunkies, but some of the top CIA people. Those top CIA people have kept the secrecy on the UFO file for 75 years, probably longer. So they know what it's all about. They've been studying it. And, you know, going to the CIA for UFO disclosure is like the NAACP going to the KKK for a togetherness rally. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, you know, it's like going to a serial killer for, you know, warm advice. This doesn't, you know, these things don't add up. So I understand the role that the spooks are playing in that CIA world, and I understand that apparatus and how it, you know, became so powerful in our national security state. But you know, nonetheless, we shouldn't be taking our cues from counterintelligence agencies inside of that apparatus. I don't even understand how that's a conversation. And what you hear when you bring these things up is all these people flip out and they're like, "Oh, you know, TTSA is the greatest, and they did all this stuff." Look, you're not looking at their financials, number one. How do you get a UFO organization $50 million in debt? What kind of money laundering CIA operation are we talking about potentially? I mean, it's unusual. You have to admit that right off the bat. So what else would we say about it? Well, why are all these CIA people interested in public disclosure? And why are they claiming, as Lou does, that they're going against the government and that the government needs to give us this information. Billionaire Chris Mellon, you know, the government needs to give us this and that. Well, you were George Bush's intelligence guy, Chris. You know, you are the government. Elizondo, you are the government. These people are the government. How can they demand of the government that the government give them the truth when they're the ones who are hiding it or have been all these years? By the way, James Clapper, Lou's old boss, went on the record today saying, yeah, you know, I've been guilty of hiding the UFO file. Yeah, I have been. But, you know, it's good to see all this transparency now. And I think we'll get around to figuring out what this UFO threat is all about. And this is how they're going to play it. So we need to find out what's driving that on one hand. And then we also need to find out what is the role that, you know, the Central Intelligence Agency has done in blocking this kind of disclosure that was coming at times from the presidential executive branch. And what kind of tactics did they use to block this? That's part of disclosure also. And the kind of destruction of careers and things that they've been pulling for 75 years. You know, how does that play into the picture? Or is it just, hey, we're going to show you a beach ball going up and down and you're going to get all excited. And like, we're going to show you the worst footage in history, but because you're able to talk about UFOs, you know, slave, you're going to be excited. I don't think so. Everyone, you're watching the Dark Journalist Show. You know, we're tearing away the phony veil of this UFO push in the media and the people who are driving it. And those people have been rattling around our independent world here for a while. Of course, Elizondo, we've done many shows on, and I highly recommend all of them. I stand by all of that work. As a matter of fact, it all panned out, and everything that other people said about TTSA being great turned out to be, you know, nonsense. And, you know, it would be awesome if there were a great organization that came forward and spent money on real transparency, but this ain't it. And, you know, you have to deal with the real world. When you're a journalist, you need to explore those facts and a responsible researcher. And just because, you know, you get to talk about your favorite pet topic in the mainstream media, that doesn't mean anything. You haven't moved anything if they're guiding you there to move you off a cliff. So we have to keep that in mind. Okay, this was in 2018. Of course, the number's gone up since then, but that's Vice. And if you look at the SEC, and, you know, they think there's weird stuff involved with TTSA. I think that's pretty clear. So they roll into all this massive debt, and then they try this op now when Trump is in office. Trump, on his side, he does two very major things. He starts the Space Force, which is a way to try to pull that space infrastructure, the UFO file stuff, back under the presidential umbrella, which is crucial. And because it seems like it's all completely being divvied out between private aerospace corporations who have government contracts and the Central Intelligence Agency deep state apparatus. So by saying we have Space Force, it was kind of a bold move. And it was also saying, here's a full armed services branch that we haven't announced a new one in 70 years. And this one is going to be just about space. Now, what happened, I think, and what's crucial for us to keep in mind is that the op on the other side, the Clinton op, was the Podesta, DeLong, Elizondo. That whole thing was meant to be happening while she was president. And then they could come out and say, we have disclosure and all this stuff. And they could run this whole operation that way. They had to wait, really, until Biden got in there to try it at this level. And this is why I think it's so dangerous. And the thing that they're pushing with the UFO threat becomes their central narrative. And remember, the CIA is all about threat, WMD threat, terrorist threat, all that stuff, which always turns out to be something that they are cooking up themselves. There were no WMD in Iraq, as it turned out, but they drove us in there, and it cost over 4,000 American lives, not to mention all the incredible Iraqis who got involved with that and their lives, and how did it affect their lives? So CIA lies cost us all in America and around the world, and they certainly hurt our reputation quite a bit. So we have to be very keen not to accept CIA lies and to really have an incredible boundary threshold when dealing with a group like this, especially if we know anything about it. And I'm going to give a brief history on it here tonight.
Can I throw you something?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Okay. Johnny Mikkelin says, "Hi, everyone. I understand that DJ still thinks that those people are still CIA, but no, they are civilians. They are the people who originally tried to bring this out, Mellon, Elizondo." Go for it.
Well, you know, I mean, it's nice of, to think that way, but if you, for example, if Elizondo had accepted my invitation to appear on this program, my first question would have been, are you still working for the United States government in an intelligence capacity? And if he answered no, he'd have to be lying because he still works for the government in an intelligence capacity. He did get shaken up during The Intercept because the guy repeatedly asked, he's the only guy who asked him, God bless him, he wasn't part of the UFO field. And he said, you know, are we to assume you, there's still Pentagon in your background now? You know, did you hang it up or what are you doing? And he said, I work for the government. Sure, I still contract for the government, but it's not what you think. In other words, I'm not out here as a shill, you know, for the government pitching a UFO threat. Well, prove it. Mellon himself is a millionaire. He's a billionaire intelligence asset, and his family is the Mellon banking family. And he's been in the Clinton administration. He was in W's administration. And it's funny, he jumped ship as soon as Biden got in. He got out of TTSA. So whatever he was doing there, he could get back into government and do it. So no, these are all government people. And, you know, once in a while, you have somebody who's like, oh, yeah, you know, I've retired from my main CIA duties and I'm doing this other thing. Well, that doesn't mean, you know, that you're not still plugged in. The question is, are you still contracting in some capacity? So if you're a journalist, you'd ask that question. And nobody has asked Lou that except for that one lonely outpost of The Intercept guy. And Lou got, you know, he made mistakes publicly. He lied repeatedly in public. He's a consummate liar because he is what? A counterintelligence agent. Well, look, in your job in counterintelligence, they train you how to lie. That has to be your number one skill because the whole point of counterintelligence is you're trying to get an enemy to believe something that isn't true. So they're looking in the wrong direction and you're coming at them in this way. Well, in this case, the enemy is the American people who want the truth around the UFO file, and you have to get them looking somewhere else and you come at them with a threat. And so you are able to put a war thing on the budget and you create this whole apparatus about fighting a UFO threat. This doesn't even get us into what is really going on now in terms of the actual UFOs that are out there. They are distorting the issue dramatically so that you could say even 20 years, we had a much better grasp on what was going on, even with all the mysteries involved. Everyone, you're watching the Dark Journalist Show. This is a special report on the UAP Task Force and the CIA UFO threat op, the alien invasion op, shall we say. They have all sorts of interesting curves on this one, so we're going to be getting into those. I want to encourage you to go to darkjournalist.com and sign up for our newsletter, which is a free newsletter to keep us in touch. And this is also going to help us, you know, in the event that there are even more large-scale lockdowns on the social media side. We're going to be coming back to you on Friday with X-Series 101. This is going to be very exciting stuff, but this couldn't wait, as you can see. It just couldn't wait. We're going to be taking at least a half hour of questions in the second half of the program. Miss Olivia is going to be taking care of those. Mm-hmm. How are you doing over there?
Doing great. Lots of questions already. Excellent. People are fired up.
Yeah, it looks like the ideas room is rocking now. So let's keep going on what the CIA is up to. So we're going to go into the CIA and how it lies, its history of lying, what they're doing now with the UFO threat aspect in the media, and then Lou Elizondo, and pull them all together. And I want to say that, you know, I gave ample opportunity for Elizondo to come on this program and explain himself and the things that he's been up to in public. He's taken that, you know, invitation from other people. He won't do it with me because I'll ask him these tough questions and a lot of that app will melt away when we have that conversation, if we did. And so Lou, I don't think he thinks that he can dance, since I've done enough research on TTSA, and it would be hard to punk me on that. Mm-hmm. So, just in fairness, of course, I gave him an opportunity to come on here and describe it himself, and that I would listen respectfully to it. Any debate I would do would be a gentleman's debate. Okay, the New Yorker now. Okay. Are UFOs a national security threat? Huh. Threat. Not what are UFOs or what's the nature of this? How about contact experiences on that? Nope, UFO national security threat. Okay. They need the threat. They always need this threat going on. Let's go through a little memory lane of CIA lies, shall we? We just got into what we know in the Kennedy assassination, Watergate, Iran-Contra. The CIA is always a central role, and they're cited and censured by Congress for not being honest, and we always have to go the extra mile to get any kind of truth out of them, and then it's a lot of spin. Even mainstream publications now, the 8 biggest lies the CIA told about torture. Washington Post. If these techniques were approved, why did the CIA still lie about torture? That is CIA Director General Michael Hayden, who also ran the NSA. This guy was always a major creep. But they lied extensively to Congress and to the public about what they were doing. Now, about 5 years ago, about a year before the election of 2016, something else was going on with CIA. They were trying to get away from the UFO thing. They were trying to really debunk it. And a lot of, for like 15 years, I would say, from 2000 to about 2015, a lot of the UFO researchers were kind of dying on the vine because the government wasn't giving them little things to work with, and they were really shrinking that. One of the things that Stanton Friedman, who was a very distinguished researcher who'd been on the program here a few times and who I spoke with fairly regularly when I was researching things like MJ-12, he told me that there was nothing coming up behind him. You know, he had been this kind of incredible researcher, and there was no group, there are always exceptions, but there was no kind of research group that was capable that was coming up behind him. And I asked him why he thought that. And he said, because there was no support, institutional support for UFO research. And therefore it wasn't a viable career choice. And as we've seen with a lot of the people who've got into it, even very smart, gifted people, they haven't done very well. And so it makes them vulnerable in a sense. So this is what they had done. They shrunk that field down to this. But around 2015, they were still pushing the UFO thing away. And what they came out and said was that all those sightings that had been seen in the 50s and 60s of UFOs were them. In other words, they were testing out secret aircraft, whatever it happened to be, and that the Central Intelligence Agency was responsible for those, and that they weren't off-world or anything like that. This was what they wanted us to believe. And it ran heavily in a number of different publications that were mainstream. Earlier than that, if you go back into the New York Times archive, in 1997, they went into great detail because there were a lot of things coming up, like the Roswell report, you know, case closed. They were just crash test dummies. Those weren't aliens. You know, it was when the wall of secrecy was more firmly in place, because there were real forces around genuine UFO disclosure that were rising in the 90s, and the CIA couldn't have that before they were ready to try their little alien invasion off. So what we got was the CIA admits government lied about UFO sightings. And of course, they are the government. Let's remember that. So CIA admits it lied. So the CIA, as an organization, has lied multiple times. And they always have that excuse, oh, it's national security or something like that. In the darkest days of the Cold War, the military lied to the American public about the true nature of many unidentified flying objects in an effort to hide its growing fleet of spy planes, a Central Intelligence Agency study says. The deceptions were made in the 50s and 60s amid a wave of UFO sightings that alarmed the public and parts of official Washington. Yeah, so they were testing out their aircraft over the White House, right? Yeah, I'm sure they were. But we can clearly see that what they're, you know, on the record, even from their own side, they're like, yeah, you know, we lied. Like, that's what we do. We're liars. And but always with a good reason, a good cause. One of the things I wanted to point out, and I ran this earlier this week on Twitter, which was Hayden has always made these very kind of creepy quotes, the former CIA NSA director under Bush. And he's always said weird things around the UFO thing also, like Brennan and Clapper have, and James Woolsey, who we've pointed out last week. But this DJ Deep State quote, so in one of those Snowden archive of leaked secrets, they were describing how the NSA and the CIA frequently made errors when they were using geolocation to identify and assassinate drone targets. So they'd be targeting some guy and they'd make a mistake and, you know, blow up a wedding party instead. And that's all the cost of doing business, right? Well, an interesting thing that Hayden said, and I put him up here with Aleister Crowley's lamb because, you know, they just look so much alike, let's face it. One of the things that he said was, and this is a quote, and Matt Taibbi, I think, came up with this one. We kill people based on metadata. Think about that. Metadata literally is something that you leave behind in a transaction, like a shopping transaction, or if you visit a website. I mean, metadata is nothing. It's no kind of a trail to identify anyone in earnest. So the idea that they use metadata, they kill people based on metadata, saying that, you know, if there's enough probability that we're going to get somebody, it doesn't matter if there's a higher chance that that person is innocent or whatever, we're going to kill them anyway. So this is the mentality of the Central Intelligence Agency. That's their leader during the Bush era. And, you know, the guy that they have in there now is no prize, and Bloody Gina was no prize. And so we've just had a string of these people. So we have to understand that the Central Intelligence Agency, when you go back to its roots, right off the bat, it was created as an extra constitutional piece because it was meant to deliver intelligence to the president. That's why Truman created it in the first place. And he was being pushed to do it. And in his letters to his wife, Bess, which were unearthed later, he said, they're trying to make me create an American Gestapo and I won't do it. So somehow he streamlined the process enough and felt, okay, you know, I'm going to be able to create an intelligence service. But then they ran away with the ball. One of the groups that were competing to be the CIA at this time was something called OPC, which they called the Office of Policy Coordination. And they used this group very heavily during the Italian elections of 1948, supposedly to keep Italy out of the hands of the communists, but not at all. but the OPC is interesting because it gives us that idea that what they would do, they would rig elections, they would blow up trains, they were the covert operators, very much like the same people who would throw out Mossadegh in Iran, in our bands in Central America in the 50s. So this is what the foundation of the CIA was. And the regular CIA were kind of like data people. And a lot of them were Wall Street lawyers like Alan Dulles. And Truman was very alarmed by this OPC group who were doing anything and seeming all around the world, and he couldn't get them back under control. And he said to CIA, put them under your umbrella. And this is just a quick snapshot of what we're talking about. But it turns out that this group inside the CIA took over so that the analysts took a backseat to these people who wanted to do all these covert ops. And then those people were hooked up with international finance groups. So again, this is often misunderstood that the CIA, you know, we think of it as a military organization. And, you know, it's only supposed to operate actually on foreign soil. It's not supposed to operate in America, although it has illegally and unconstitutionally many times. So what we have to keep in mind about it is that that wing, the dangerous, lawless, unconstitutional wing of the CIA took over, that OPC wing took over the regular wing, and it became a struggle for every president and the public apparatus, you know, the regular government, the elected government. So we had a covert government and an overt government, and the overt government kept running into problems with this covert thing that had created an entire infrastructure of secrecy based on the National Security Act in 47 and the further powers of the CIA that were created in 49. That's what we've been dealing with. And by the time you get to the Kennedy assassination, you've got all the presidents weighing in and saying CIA is a bad idea. Truman saying, you know, I created it and amend it or end it because, you know, we need to get rid of this thing. And it was never meant to be like this. So when we look at it this way, that's the last time that it was in play as something that we could get back under control. And it was Kennedy who was trying to do this. Now, I want to make a point here about what disclosure is. Because if the CIA is driving this disclosure and everybody's waiting around for the UAP task force, then part of that disclosure has to be, did the Central Intelligence Agency assassinate President Kennedy in order to prevent him from revealing the UFO secret? And they need to have a Senate investigation in the Intelligence Committee on that. That is crucial. And it must immediately get the CIA records on the JFK assassination that have never been released, which is ridiculous because they're mandated by law since 1992 to be out. So right now, the Central Intelligence Agency is a lawless organization. They are completely outside of the branch of regular government law. So when we think of it that way, then this weird lawless group is now driving this media narrative, you know, that probably the Davos crowd is plugging them in on the deep state side and saying, look, you have to push this alien thing. And, you know, we're getting pushed over a cliff on the alien thing by this completely unconstitutional organization. For what purpose? Well, they want global control, and they've been building it, and the space aspects of that, the secret space program and the things that we talk about on the show are all connected with this. But the UFO file is that crucial piece, the crucial secret in the middle of all this. And so now, after it's been exposed, and especially with the advent of the internet over a couple of decades, it's really exposed that they've been hiding these secrets. Well, they need to come up and say, look, we're good guys. We're giving you the secrets, and here's the secrets. There's a big threat, and we've been, you know, stealing your money in order to kind of make sure that that threat didn't get to you, see? And also, you have to surrender all your constitutional freedoms because the threat is so big. You know, remember that coronavirus? Well, these aliens have viruses, too. So, you know, this stuff, when you look at it, if you really take it into account what you're dealing with here, you, in order to reclaim your entire republic and democracies around the world, you cannot have the CIA driving UFO disclosure and the media on board with that and the deep state groups pushing it for their own purposes, because, you know, we'll all end up in lockdown, and that'll be the end of anything. So this is very serious, and it can't be lightly rolled out through the media and then the threat part pushed, you know. Also, the types of technology that they have, they could easily imitate what they've been studying for 70 years in the UFO file. Yes, Miss Olivia.
Can we talk about the Nazi International component of this?
Yeah, well, it is a thread in there. There's no question about it. I'll try to circle back to them.
Well, Nate asks a very pointed question.
Yes.
Why does the CIA get to kill people and presidents?
Yeah, it's very interesting. If you go to the work, I mean, the way to understand the CIA is to study the work of Professor Peter Dale Scott, who has studied them extensively. One of the things he revealed on this program was that, you know, the CIA has a part of their charter that the public has never seen. And from what we understand about it, it basically lets them off the hook for anything. Because of the broad sweep of the spying powers that were required after the Second World War. But that loophole has been exploited dramatically, and that's why we have a secrecy state. So, you know, you're going to have some kind of secrecy in government anyway, but the type of secrecy that we've had, which prevents us from knowing about the truth about UFOs, you know, their assassinations, who were behind the assassinations, and the media just parroting what the National Intelligence Service tells them. There's no way to move forward in truth as a country. So what we need to do is have the ability to take an organization like the Central Intelligence Agency and reform it. But the problem with doing that is they control the media. So it's very hard to get, you know, in the 70s, they did it, which is why things like the Church Commission are remembered so deeply. During the Iran-Contra hearings, the CIA, some of that was brought out. But over and over again, this apparatus, you know, it even in the 70s, in the late 70s, it went offshore and became a totally different group. They called themselves the Safari Club. And it was, again, those kind of worldwide deep state players and all the retired intelligence people, people who had been there since the beginning and who were deeply involved. So, you know, having this extra constitutional fort, one of the first things I've always suggested they should do with the CIA is take all of the agents and all of the controllers and have them all swear allegiance to the Constitution again and publicly.
Nice.
I think that this is an important thing because whoever is controlling them, they're getting further and further. You know, they have no regard for the Constitution at all. And they are really part of a globalist international force, and their influence on the American stage, you know, in on American cultures is just beyond belief. On the UFO file, though, look, the space apparatus, this is what they've been building. It's a grid to control planet Earth from space. That's been the goal since Hitler. Okay, and so much of the Central Intelligence Agency apparatus came out of the General Galen's organization, which was basically Hitler's version of the CIA. And, you know, when we took over at a certain point, we were like, you know, they have so much intelligence about Germany and Russia and all the rest of it. We'll just keep working with this. And it got integrated into our own CIA. That's a problem. And so we have a huge reform problem in that organization. The other thing is that the organization is not accounted for under any real constitutional mandate. It's a completely extra constitutional force. So as it stands, it's an illegal organization. And for this organization to have that much power, and it's kind of, you know, related organization, Homeland Security, now with 250,000 employees, you start to look around and think, this is not America, you know. And I think that the lockdowns and the whole COVID insanity proved it. And, you know, we had governors saying, I'll call martial law, like Gavin Newsom, and say, you know, like, I'll shut off your water if you throw a party. you know, this is the level of it. And it will go. They'll keep going if they think they can promote it and if they think that you'll go along. Everyone, you're watching the Dark Journalist show. This is a special report we're doing on the CIA push for a false UFO threat. We've seen a lot of it. We went through TTSA, which I think was crucial. I think I give you a pinch there of the history of the CIA. I could talk all night. A couple of things I want to mention. We get to Marco Rubio and Lou Elizondo. And I want to say a couple of things about Elizondo. Here's the basic bio sketch on Elizondo. Supposedly, he was walking around in intelligence circles, and he was fighting FARC rebels in Colombia, and he was in Afghanistan, you know, and doing these types of operations. And then all of a sudden they said, how would you like to run the UFO file? And he said, sure, I'll do anything. And then he got involved with this program, and then he became very upset when he realized they didn't take UFOs as a threat seriously enough, and he had to go public. Of course, he'd been in that program doing that stuff. The official program had ended in 2012. He didn't come out till 2017, so that's 5 years. Well, I guess that's a smoldering anger that he had. And I thought right off the bat there was something wrong with Elizondo's story, and it turned out it collapsed dramatically. But his story that he ran this organization, and they gave it different names, you know, it ended up being called ATIP in the public. But they use different names when they were talking about it also, which is a little bit sketchy if you think about it. And they were also trying to say that, oh, no, it was a classified program. No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't a classified program. Yes, it was. So these were the kind of weird lies and tap dancing that they were doing when they came out with this. But they had these pictures of Elizondo. And, you know, I know a lot about professional photography. And these were done in such a way as to create this, like, brooding image of this guy who needed to fight the system and all that. And he said, we need to fight the government to get the truth about UFOs. And as I pointed out, he is the government. You know, he worked for James Clapper, the National Intelligence Director. Not a lower-level guy. Not even like a semi-vamp, but like the top guy. you know, and then he worked for John Brennan. And then you have Clapper and Brennan now coming out and saying, oh, we need to get to the bottom of this UFO truth, when they were the CIA directors for decades. So they understand what the UFO truth is. And what are they experts at if they're spies and the counterintelligence people? They're experts at lying. So they're not going to tell us anything worthwhile because they'd also be telling a foreign adversary. So, you know, you just don't get that kind of information from an intelligence person. It doesn't work that way. Now, his story that he came out because he needed to, you know, that people weren't taking the UFO threat seriously inside the Pentagon, that seems kind of hard to believe. First of all, the Pentagon looks at anything as a threat, and so does the CIA. So certainly they looked at the UFO threat. The UFO threat is the thing that they need to use in the public's imagination. You know, obviously, for decades now that we've had air travel and that we've seen UFOs, you know, and all this stuff, we haven't experienced hostile UFO activity. There have been some things where, you know, we've had pilots shoot at them and weird things happen to the planes. Yeah, but in general, like, there are no cases where the UFOs are going after people. They try to fake this about an Italian case of a helicopter catching fire and then the town catching fire. And Elizondo and DeLong ran this in the show Unidentified, which is now unidentified because you can't find it anywhere because it had miserable ratings. But the thing was, that story, it turned out that that was just a malfunction of the helicopter, one. And two, the story about the town being set on fire, they prosecuted somebody for arson about it. So those were total lies to back up the threat theory. And they didn't have anything for the threat part in that show. They kept looking for it. And they were like, did you feel like you were under threat? You know, and you'll notice a lot of these guys, even when Knapp was talking about, you know, these beach balls that were attacking the Omaha. I mean, come on, you know, like, oh, they were under siege by these discs that were just hanging out. Well, under siege, did they fire upon them? You know, did they prevent them from travel? How was under siege? Like, what exactly are you talking about? You mean they were around? Okay. but, you know, acts of war are defined a little bit differently. So we're getting into this false thing. It's almost like a cartoon, so that every time these people can go on a show and say, that's a threat, that looks like a threat. And if you followed the early activity around the TTSA, all they would talk about is UFO threat. So that's what they're about, because when they can work in that threat atmosphere, just like the COVID thing, it's a threat, right? They can get away with stripping away the constitutions. They can get emergency powers. They can roll in continuity of government players. You know, so emergencies, just like the Enabling Act of the Hitler regime in Nazi Germany, that's how you get those types of powers, through emergencies, just like you get those powers through 9/11. And they've been locking in the sense of 9/11 with the UFO threat in the past month or two. This is their big thing. So you have to start to think they're looking to pull now. And this is, you know, the idea of them pulling a false UFO invasion is not a new thought. This is something that's been on the books and kicking around since the 1950s and 60s, that someone inside the government would take these sightings and use it as a reason to pull a kind of martial law scenario. Eventually, they called it Project Bluebeam. And, you know, a lot of people have said, well, Bluebeam wasn't real, but it doesn't matter. You know, Bluebeam, the concept is solid, because we've seen inside the government, they look at these different types of contingency plans. So this is the nature of the environment and how we should look at these things. There's no question about it. And I'll show you how they're connecting up the 9/11 aspects. Everyone, you're watching the Dark Journalist show. We're going to be taking your questions here shortly, and it's going to be a shorter show tonight because we have the full X series episode for you on Friday. We have the lovely Miss Olivia here collecting your questions right now. You can ask them all in caps. How's the temperature out there?
Too many questions already. People are ready to rock and roll.
All right. Well, maybe I can get through some of these things. Let's remember this. Here is Kenneth Arnold with what he saw, which looks more like a flying boomerang than a flying saucer, but he saw a series of these. And he came forward and he said, this is what I saw over Mount Rainier in Washington State. And that was, he said, you know, they, it looked like saucers. That's what they looked like. And that's where flying saucers came from. And this is where the whole craze came from. And that takes us into June of 1947. Roswell crash happens shortly after that. And there are all these other sightings, Maury Island and all these other things in there. But so he was a responsible pilot who was reporting what he'd seen. And, you know, we've seen that there have been waves of UFO and the real mystery of the way that they could outfly us and all the rest of it. Gordon Cooper talked about during World War II and developing as a pilot that they would notice that the UFOs would fly in formation with them, imitating them. And so definitely the whatever was out there already had the technology and everything else. Now, there's a lot of explanations for what that could be. And we've tried to explore those on this program. But certainly there's a huge mystery involved with UFOs and the UFO file research that connects to X technology. And, you know, a lot of the contact cases that were genuine hold very interesting keys, in fact, about because it goes far beyond just the sightings. You know, we have all these interactions for decades with people and very reliable sources. So we get into an interesting area of going, you know, they're trying to run this thing over a cliff for money, for narrative power, for control, for global control, to create a one world government, in essence, because that's the only thing that could unite us all against a threat from the outside, right? But in fact, there's a great mystery there, you know, because we think, are these things coming in from other dimensions? Is it a nuts and bolts craft coming in from another system? You know, how are they observing us? Have they been observing us for years? Did they influence our culture? All these wonderful questions. And it opens up a whole field. And what these groups who are really demented that are inside the government and inside of our structure that Professor Scott, you know, referred to them as the deep state. And I think the term has been bastardized a lot. However, it's incredibly accurate. What they're always looking to do is exploit those things. So really, when UFOs were called the number one search in 2018, I think that they really went into overdrive on this. So we have to kind of keep the actual UFO mystery in mind. So when we're throwing out the CIA thing and saying there's no threat or whatever, we're still embracing the deeper knowledge around the subject that we've been looking at for years and that the intelligence people have manipulated for power. And, you know, the corporations have tried to use for X technology, you know, for advantages, and that war people have used for advantages. So we look at it and they look at it very, very differently in that sense. There were people who were had a great interest on the UFO file and understood a lot from von Braun and Charles Lindbergh, who also, you know, Donald Kehoe was his co-pilot, and they saw a lot of UFOs together, there's no question about it. So it's always been there. It's been locked up. Now, during the process of these presidents coming in and dealing with the issue, that UFO wall of secrecy has been there as a counterbalance. And so President Kennedy was one of the first. You know, Eisenhower was really strong in the fact that the people at Area 51, the CIA, had to give him regular briefings on this and couldn't keep it to themselves. And he had a lot of pull to do that. But by the time we got to President Kennedy, he was like, look, you know, the UFO thing, we need to share the threat cases and this type of information with the Russians because it could set off an accidental nuclear exchange. So this was a major breach of protocol from that wall of secrecy, who'd been really thriving on knowing about this stuff and keeping it a secret from the American public and saying there's nothing to see here. So Kennedy, now I've brought forward on this program that Douglas Caddy, the Watergate lawyer, has said on the record on this program that CIA super spy Howard Hunt, who was his family friend, told him in private that Kennedy was assassinated over the UFO file because he was going to do this sharing. And that was a violation of national security that Kennedy was committing by sharing the UFO file with the Russians. This is a central piece of the history of the UFO file because This is something that a high-level CIA agent is sharing in private with his best friend, essentially. And the best friend is a Watergate lawyer. He has incredible standing in that sense. The UFO community, or the UFO people who look at the subject, didn't take note of just the gravity of that. But it's an essential segment because there is a number of documented points about Kennedy demanding UFO information before his death from the Central Intelligence Agency. Memos have leaked out on that. I want to give you a couple of these things around the presidents, and I want to focus on this going forward in the shows that we have coming up on this, because the presidential aspect of this is absolutely crucial, because this is how the CIA has manipulated the presidency. And that has to be part of the disclosure discussion, not just, oh, there's aliens after us, we need to give you another $20 trillion to defend us. JFK was murdered by CIA after demanding spooks release top secret files. The president sent a letter to the head of the CIA only 10 days before he was killed, it is claimed. And this is a memo that came out that showed very clearly, and it was a legitimate memo, and the CIA has never disavowed it, that Kennedy was looking for them to give him these files to share with the Soviets. And what's interesting is he had developed the Cooperation in Space Initiative. You can see those documents at the Kennedy Library. And clearly, there was no idea for a space race. He wanted to create a joint moon mission. That's all in those documents. And those documents were on October, November of 63. And, of course, he was killed on November 22nd. Now, this memo has been around. There's always been parts of it that have been blocked out. But it's an essential piece, I think, when we're looking at this. When we get into the aspect of the presidents also, you know, today we had the incredibly unreliable Obama, former President Obama. Now he's coming on board with this and saying there's footage and records of objects in the skies that we don't know exactly what they are, right? So Obama, who just clammed up for 8 years when he was in there and didn't do anything about UFOs, suddenly he wants to be in on this too. Well, this trend goes way, way back, because one of the things that's essential to remember is a little story that we told about Nixon and his time capsule based on the whistleblower and the Houston plan operative Robert Merritt, because what he said in a nutshell, and his interview, of course, is on this channel, was that Nixon had worked extensively since the 50s on the UFO file, and that he was sending him as a messenger between himself and Kissinger with this UFO information, and he read some of these letters out loud. One of the letters talked about the energy formula that they had got from discovering the UFO file and how they had worked with it and scientists had worked with it and figured it out. And so the time capsule itself contained this information because Nixon thought it was historic. And when he was thrown out for Watergate, the time capsule itself was placed in the White House, according to Merritt. This is very interesting because when I backtracked Merritt's statements, a lot of things added up. And that story is still very unusual, because when it came out and we did the story, there were a lot of reports that there was a scramble between the intelligence community and the Trump organization based on Merritt's claim to find that information. And so, you know, this idea that Nixon wanted, you know, Nixon had funded a UFO disclosure documentary. He had funded research on UFO style propulsion at Pine Gap. He was working on an alternative energy source because of the Arab oil crisis in 73. He was going to bring this stuff out for the bicentennial and say, I'm going to serve a third term because of the emergency of this whole thing, because they had cut presidential terms down to two. And instead, Watergate happens. He gets thrown out. The time capsule is kept, but nobody's the wiser. Well, if you go throughout these presidencies, including Eisenhower's, there are time capsules that are meant to be released sometimes in 2030, sometimes in 2050, but they, I am sure, contain some reference to this UFO file information because these people want their role in it to be acknowledged later in history. So they knew that this was going to come out at a certain point. And so what we see now with people like Obama trying to get on board and say, you know, oh, we have to find the bottom of the UFO file. We need to get to the bottom of this. What he's really saying, in essence, is I'm a part of this. You know, I'm involved. So, you know, we have to think of it that way. Of course, we brought forward on the program that Trump and Nixon were very close. I'm sure, you know, we already know that Trump's uncle is very deeply aware of the X technology, and that his mentor was the person in charge of the UFO file, Vannevar Bush. We brought forward the fact that Trump and Nixon had this relationship. The mainstream media had rejected the idea. In the fall of 2020, it came forward that it was true. And so we start to get that bigger picture. And then we have Trump as a power player on the UFO file going in, the Hillary Clinton people trying to run this off with Podesta and DeLong and all that stuff. And Trump gets in his version of the UFO file thing with the Space Force. That's his, that was his, you know, attempt to pull that back under the presidential umbrella. And the Hillary Clinton thing plays out into this weird TTSA rollout, which fumbles around for years, goes into debt, looks like a CIA shell front, which is what it is. And then finally, Biden gets in there, and lo and behold, they cast off Lou, they cast off Mellon, and those guys go out there, and they are the central piece of the UFO file. They're the ones now. It's like Lou's off. You know, they've dumped along a long time ago because they realized that that part of it, they were trying to play to the youth and all the rest of it. But he was too much of a liability. You know, he seemed stoned when he went on these programs, et cetera. So when we look at it that way, this is what we're left with. But remember, Mellon's a billionaire intelligence guy from the Bush, from W. Bush, okay, which is really like a dirty, you know, their intelligence services under the Bush organization, watch out, okay? They engaged in a lot of very illegal activity, black sites and all the rest of it. So he's not a very trustworthy individual. Elizondo's not trustworthy, as we've brought forward tonight and on many shows. So, you know, this op, the leading figures on it now, they were like, we need somebody to help us drive this. Who can we turn to? And the person that they're turning to in government is Marco Rubio, who is somehow seeing this as a stepping stone. But Marco's chief characteristic is that he's a neocon and that he's the senator from Florida, which is in the hot zone. And there's a lot of space interest down there. But what we're looking at when we look at Rubio is somebody who has a war. You know, he talks about bombing Iran. You know, he has this neocon style language. And what is it that Marco is coming out and saying? What's the terminology that he's using? Well, Senator Marco Rubio says UFO threat should be taken seriously. The UFO threat. So they need the threat, and it has to be taken seriously, and we need, and you know, to be able to scare the heck out of you in order to get this going. That's where these people are headed. Marco Rubio urges U.S. to take UFOs seriously ahead of government report. Well, they already know what's in this report coming out in June. So this is part of the scripted aspects of what we're seeing here. I want us to take it seriously and have a process to take it seriously. How about getting the CIA to give up all their records? Oh, you can't do that. Oh, that's too bad. Because all the people demanding it are CIA agents, and they want CIA-style disclosure that they can create a false war threat with. I see. The Florida Senator Marco Rubio has urged American lawmakers to take the issues of mysterious flying objects seriously ahead of the expected release next month of a U.S. government report on unidentified aerial phenomena, UAP, better known as UFOs. Well, then why use UAP? I don't get it. So there's a couple of interesting things that happened around this also. Now, Obama is using interesting language, too, because he's saying, well, I'm not going to talk about aliens, but UFOs are real. Obama says government doesn't have alien specimens, but UFOs are real. This is the weird dancing that they're doing, trying to see what they can get away with. And can they have us fight a force of UFOs without actually admitting that they're aliens? Now, I told you this all went back to John Podesta, who was an Obama, he was a Clinton official originally, And then he became an Obama official and then Hillary Clinton's 2016 failed campaign manager. There's a lot of diciness around Podesta. It's been run through the mill on the alternative side over and over again, so I won't repeat it here. But his big thing, he came out publicly and he said, you know, my biggest thing is that I haven't been able to get the UFO file out to the public. Now, he, you know, this whole thing about the UFO threat, they used him in TTSA. So Podesta, with that deep state political piece, now pushing the UFO side. 4 years ago, in the public, the UFO file conversation was more here. Now it's more here. And Podesta, you know, was part of this process of bringing it to the media in this fashion. And you could say that there's upsides and downsides to that. Certainly getting the public to discuss the UFO file is worthwhile. Unfortunately, it's the most unethical people on the planet who are bringing it forward, and they're bringing it forward for all the wrong reasons. That's a problem. You know, if you had John Mack talking about it, who is the Harvard psychiatrist who took, you know, intense heat to bring this out, you know, that's one thing. If you have Stanton Friedman working on it, who was a researcher who was dedicated to getting that out to the public, well, that's one thing. That's the good kind of UFO research, right? But to have these psychos who are driving the, you know, COVID crisis and the lockdowns and the I want martial law in my state and all that stuff, to have those people, the CIA in charge of the UFO file, that's a big, big no-no. It's a terrible idea. It is absolutely the worst idea. It's like giving the psychopath access to the nuclear button. I mean, it's just dumb. So, earlier, and we see some moves by the Biden administration, Department of Defense Inspector General evaluates their own defense policies towards UFOs. So now they're saying, we're going to create an apparatus here for shooting down UFOs. The Office of the Inspector General for the Department of Defense has announced that it's conducting an evaluation regarding the extent to which the DoD has taken actions regarding unidentified aerial phenomena, UAP. Yeah. Singling out numerous different military and intelligence entities that will focus on this evaluation. The goal of the evaluation appears to be to answer the question of how the subject of UAPs managed to fall through the cracks for years. Oh, we forgot all about the UFO file. How about that? And how it is these guys are flying around seeing this stuff and nobody up the chain of command is being notified. Well, because they are being notified and they're swearing everyone else to secrecy except for these phony leaks to the media through people like Mellon and Elizondo, so they can look like I'm an anti-government whistleblower crusader. So you've created your entire scenario. You've got the leadership that doesn't know anything. You've got the leadership that won't share anything with the public. You've got Elizondo and Mellon, who's a billionaire, and Elizondo, career CIA agent, looking like we're going to get that government to talk. Damn it, we're whistleblowers. And we'll make them give it to the public. And of course, the obvious thing is that Elizondo is the government. Mellon is the government. So this is ridiculous. And the media, when they go in to talk about the UFO file, they're idiots. They don't know anything about the UFO file. And it's not their fault. They haven't been told that it was an important issue, and they've just blew it off. So when they get on it, when they talk to somebody like Elizondo, they don't ask him anything. They're like, oh, is that light in the sky a threat? And do I need to be afraid? You know, woo. deep questions like that. Instead of, are you part of a CIA operation to drive a UFO threat narrative to create an entire infrastructure, financial infrastructure, military infrastructure to combat an imaginary threat? And have you been sent out here by the Central Intelligence Agency to do that? And was your mission to initially to ignore the UFO community and then to co-opt them? And is that what you're engaged in now? And do you have, you know, contractual agreements with the CIA not to reveal this off? You see how this works. This is a problem. You can't ask a spook a straight question because they can always hide behind the charter that the National Security Agency, the National Security Act, has given them, which is in the defense of my country, you know, against all actors, foreign and domestic, I am able to conduct clandestine operations and do all these types of things and not admit to it. So this is the problem with trying to deal with CIA people. You'll never get the truth around CIA people. It's just the nature of the business. Everyone, you're watching the Dark Journalist program. Whew, we're getting deep into it now. I guess we better hop into your questions.
I'm just going to throw this out. I didn't know this.
Yes.
Brandy says, I thought it was interesting that Elizondo was asked about Kexburg and he knew nothing about it. For someone who was tasked in investigating UFOs, he seemed strangely ignorant of it. That's like UFO file 101.
He knows all about it.
Of course.
Of course he knows all about it. Thing is, it's an interesting thing too, because when he was talking to a Florida newspaper, I was reading the Miami Herald, and there's a story in there. I clipped out parts of it actually, but he was saying, oh, I never knew anything about UFOs till 2008, till they made me the head of ATIP, which he never was. And the Advanced Aerial Threat Identification Program, which was a $22 million program on the record. God knows what it was off the record. But anyway, he was saying that, and then I kept going back to this story. There's this book by Bud Hopkins about, it's called Witnessed, and it is all about the Brooklyn Bridge UFO abductions. There was a guy who got in touch with me who was one of the witnesses of this case, and he had gone to the police in New York City about it, and they had made him wait for about 3 hours, and then this guy showed up and interrogated him, and then later the guy shadowed him to see where he was and what he was doing. And this guy, who is a very good, clear witness and has been on the record around this in one form or another for years, he said that the person who was shadowing him and who had interrogated him was Elizondo back then. Okay, that's the late 90s. So, we're talking about what was Elizondo doing, and was this his job to kind of follow around? Was he basically a man in black trying to follow around UFO witnesses? Is that really what his job was? That makes more sense to me. Instead, what he's saying is, I came out, and you know what I did? In 2008, I learned about UFOs because they made me the head of this program, but I didn't know anything about them before. Well, if 10 years earlier he was following around UFO witnesses, that's a pretty big discrepancy. Now, this guy who's part of this case, I've talked to him. He swears that it's Elizondo. And he, as soon as he saw Elizondo coming out, he said, that's Lou. And he talked to friends and said, this is the same guy that was following me. So it's his word, yeah. But there is a witness now on the record with me, and I'll probably bring him on the show, who's saying that 10 years before Elizondo claimed to first learn about UFOs at ATIP, which is also weird, I got to tell you, because I pointed this out before, the timeline, unfortunately, there's no media investigating Elizondo. He just comes forward and says, I'm a Pentagon CIA guy, and they're just like, hey, he's the guy who's blowing the whistle on this. But they don't investigate his claims. There are a couple of guys out there who've done it, and they found a lot of inconsistencies, like the Black Vault, for example. But he claims now, in this period, 2010, to be running ATIP. And there's no evidence that he ever ran that program anyway. He may have been a part of it. He may have spied on it, for all we know.
Good point.
But here he is in 2010, January 2010, and it's all about his shipping company. And he's running a shipping company with this other guy. It could be a CIA front, but then again, how could you be running ATIP and this kind of, it doesn't make sense to me. Because ATIP is a huge job, I would imagine. But also running this company would be a big job. This has never been answered very well, in my opinion, at all. And his own history shows up very sketchy, and he never seems to like to let that out. And I know a lot of the people now, like John Greenwald and other people who've talked to him, and he talks to everybody before and says, this is what you can ask and this is what you can't. Before, he only used to talk to Knapp because he knew he would get soft questions. And, I like George Knapp, but he was asking Elizondo real softball questions like, how does it feel to be a hero? Is it a great feeling or a semi-great feeling? These aren't real questions. So nobody ever asked him, are you working for the CIA now? Or do you have a contract position? If you were, and they told you not to admit it, would you tell me that now? So Elizondo is completely useless as a whistleblower in this regard because of his association with the Central Intelligence Agency. That should be a right down the line admission, anybody who's honest in the UFO field, you know, and these people just don't want to admit it because they're hanging on to Elizondo because he's riding them into the the UAP task force BS report coming out in June. And then the media's UFO threat. And don't worry, they're going to put you on this show and that show. And you know, but the truth gets murdered in the middle. And it's unfortunate because, you know, we lose that truth in the whirlwind of the media driving this thing up. And they're making the UFO thing ridiculous, you know, because they're every night they're pouring it on. Well, why are they pouring it on? Because that's the next op that they have lined up. And that's a big piece of the space infrastructure push that they're doing. Everyone, you're watching the Dark Journalist Show. We're going to take some of your questions now. And let's say we'll run to like 10 o'clock Eastern time. Miss Olivia.
Okay, Roosevelt Media News. Are they looking for a cover to release advanced technology with this UFO panic?
Yeah, that's a really good point, actually. What's happening there, it's interesting, and this is a sad note on this I have to bring forward, which is, and Dr. Farrell did a blog about this today. You know, I have participated in these secret space conferences in the past, and one of them in 2014, I did the 2015 one in Texas, but the one in 2014 had Mark McClandish, who a lot of people know did great research around the secret space program. And he was an artist who drew these models, and his family was very deep in the military industrial complex. And his contention was that the Tic Tac and the other things that we were seeing were part of these advanced vehicles that they already have. And, you know, the Tic Tac, it's an interesting story because, you know, whenever I go into this story, a lot of people say, well, the honesty of the Navy pilots or something. Well, the Navy pilots are in a training exercise. So they could be testing those Navy pilots, and the Navy pilots can be completely honest saying what they saw, but that doesn't mean that they have access to the higher level. You know, this always used to get me. I used to know a guy who worked for NASA, and he always used to say, I would know about that in relation to UFOs. And I'm like, you know, you don't have the position, you know, you're a middle manager. You don't have the need for them to tell you that. It's actually a security breach on their part. They're not going to tell you. And this is the tough thing for people to get. And so a lot of these pilots seeing these things, yeah, they're seeing them, but it's not like they have to be told, hey, you know, when you see this thing, you know, if they're doing a real genuine test of advanced technology, they want to test their own guys and see how they would react to it. What if they're testing actual reverse engineered UFO craft? They certainly would do that. So you don't have to, you know, say that the pilots were wrong or anything like that. We've had Navy pilots on the record, by the way, since the 1940s talking about UFO craft like this. So it's not any surprise, right? I mean, that's pretty typical. But it is interesting that McClandish pointed out that he felt that these craft were in this milieu of being advanced craft that we were testing. And he was somebody who was in a position to understand these things. I think he knew which were which, and that's why he could draw these incredible models of things. So he was slated to testify, I can confirm that, through the Senate Intelligence Committee for the UAP task force group. And just to basically as somebody who could be an expert on types and models. And so he died unexpectedly of suicide. And he committed suicide, and it's unusual, you know, a lot of people who knew Mark, I only talked to him once, but other people who knew him well say it's entirely uncharacteristic. So it's very disturbing, in my opinion, that this happened, you know, and it's unfortunate in any case. But I think that we have to see some of the people involved in this thing. And when things like this happen, there needs to be a deep investigation. Supposedly now, according to Dr. Farrell's blog entry, there are federal agencies looking into that death because a lot of the things don't add up about how he died. committing suicide in that fashion. So, you know, these are the types of things that we need to, with great respect for the situation, take a look at and say, what is it that's going on here? And, you know, I will say that when it comes to committee hearings around important subjects, if you think of something like the Kennedy assassination, you know, when those people went to go forward, even when this happened in the 1990s for the Assassination Record Review Board, people would turn up dead. And the reason was that the groups that were engaged in secrecy didn't want what they were doing to be thwarted by a viable expert. So I don't know if that's the case here, but I think we have to be aware of those types of things. And so I guess my answer to your question is, yeah, I mean, I think the Tic Tac and the other things are easily, and I mean easily, the type of technology that we have in our own possession.
Okay, I like this question because yes. This covers everything. World okay. Change brief. DJ, sketch what you think they'll do. Run it like the COVID op. One weird shock videos surface, lockdowns, world leaders convene, one world government announcements to meet the threat, Great Reset rolled in.
Ah, you said the magic word there. When you said one world government, remember what I said about the emergency powers. The whole key to looking at our current situation in 2021 is the emergency powers setup, because the emergency powers are how, over time, they've been able to get further and further destruction of constitutional rights happening, and they've been able to get more and more into a power position. One of the things that most people are not aware of is that we're still under the Emergency Powers Act of 9/11, and that every president, including Trump, including Obama, including sleepy Joe Biden, they all sign it. And that puts us under NORTHCOM, essentially. And it also keeps us in this perpetual emergency state that suspends certain aspects of the Constitution. And it is the 9/11 Terrorist Act. Well, it's interesting because Elizondo, in his language now, he's constantly referring, as is Chris Mellon, to 9/11 and intelligence failure. These two words together, because they try to claim that 9/11 was an intelligence failure. No, it was just a very well-coordinated plan, right? And not the official story by a long shot. Pentagon whistleblower warns on UFO intelligence failure on level of 9/11. I could show you multiple examples of them pulling this out, but they've also been pulling 9/11 out for the domestic terror bill. And they've been saying, oh, you know, we need to watch these terrorists, but now they're not watching terrorists. They're watching for regular domestic terrorists, right? Just people in America. They're not looking for outside terrorists. Now it's anyone who doesn't agree with the regime, right? So now they're talking about 9/11 powers and they're saying, you know, it's just like 9/11. We need a 9/11 commission for domestic terror and all the rest. And the Department of Homeland Security is like, well, you know, now that we've listed these COVID measures, all these terrorists can get together and cause an incident, you know, so we have to be on guard for this, all these domestic terrorists. So they're not worried about Middle Eastern terrorists anymore. It's just domestic, you know, anyone who objects to, you know, the lockdown and all that kind of stuff. So this is the nature of the weird turnaround. But that language, I'm telling you, when they get into using the 9/11 language, there's a trigger going on there. Because what did they do during 9/11? They suspended the Constitution and operated continuity of government, COG, when President Bush was in the air going backwards and forwards. And then they had Vice President Cheney go off into a mountain and come out with the Patriot Act, which President Biden helped to write, by the way. You say that you're a liberal Democrat and you didn't know that? It's kind of interesting, isn't it? Biden wrote the Patriot Act. The Patriot Act is one of the worst rights suspending documents the United States government has ever passed. Okay, one quick thing before we go back to Miss Olivia. There's a couple here. So they had Lou on 60 Minutes, and he's doing the, I'm not telling you that it doesn't sound wacky. What I'm telling you is it's real. So he's the UFO champion now. He's like, you know, those people like Stephen Bassett and all that who are coming forward. So they've just adopted that language through the CIA agent. a 20-year veteran of covert military intelligence operations, CIA counterintelligence, about UFOs. What is it? What are its intentions? What are its capabilities? So, you know, Lou's being put in this thing as if he needs to go up against the government and get that truth and awaken everybody. But the government sent him out to do this, and he is the government. So that's what's very key. I mentioned that Intercept article earlier. This is the one, and it says, the media loves this UFO expert who says he worked for an obscure Pentagon program. Did he? One of the only articles questioning anything about Elizondo. And they freaked. They absolutely freaked when it came out. The TTSA, literally, they didn't know what to do. And it, eventually, I think, you know, what they've decided to do is basically cut their losses and that they don't need to run TTSA anymore and that these guys now are the op. And I think the CIA support for TTSA, they don't need it. You know, it's just embarrassing in a sense. That is, I didn't do anything to this picture, but that is Mellon talking with NBC. but, you know, a picture says 1,000 words. Mellon is right in the heart of this thing. And the Mellon family has been behind a lot of very dicey stuff in general in the history of America. And I think this is really their latest move. CNN now does a nightly report on UFOs, you know, catching up with this. And it's Chris Cuomo. Hey, his brother, the governor of New York, who sentenced all those people to death by, you know, putting them in a nursing home with people who had COVID, well, he got a $5 million book deal. It's a little bit unnerving somehow to have these people running around. Retired U.S. Navy chief explains tech witnessed in UFO aircraft sighting. CNN's Chris Cuomo talks to Sean Cahill, retired U.S. Navy chief master at arms, and Christopher Mellon, former deputy assistant director for defense for intelligence, about the forthcoming government report on UFO sightings. If you watch the interactions on this, the way they're building it in, it's like a nightly thing. And like, can we get people to pay attention? Get people to pay attention. Well, everyone was obsessed with the COVID thing. All right, take off your mask. You're able to do all that. When this report hits in June, will we be able to do the UFO threat? You know, can we get people whipped up into this? And this is where the threat op is headed. Yes, Ms. Olivia.
Najat Madri, what is the risk of big corporations like Amazon and Tesla investing in private armies engaging in the UFO file?
Well, they do. This is really interesting because Catherine Fitz calls about, you know, she does a lot of writing about the Treaty of Westphalia, which essentially ended the individual armies and the clans armies in Scotland. And it gave the powers to the government to basically run things. You know, you have a police force, you have the army or whatever. And what happened was over the course of the past 20 years, we've seen a lot of private armies, or Blackstone was a classic example during the Gulf War and the Iraq War. By the way, they rebirthed themselves as X, which I thought was pretty interesting.
What do you mean?
Blackstone, the mercenary group, is now known as X. But this is quite fascinating because this idea of private armies, you know, and then robot armies, and then the Davos crowd doesn't really need, you know, the consent of the governed. They've got their robot armies in place. And what are you going to do about it? By the way, the Constitution doesn't matter anymore because we have 9/11 style powers to fight this alien invasion. I mean, you can see how this could go. They just tried something like this with the COVID nightmare. So certainly with the UFO aspect, they could. But yeah, that aspect of the private armies is crucial. And I think when it gets into the technology part, that's something that they're also developing because, you know, a private army or the army, you could say they have a conscience and they wouldn't do certain things, but robots just do what you tell them to. Yes.
So basically, they're going to present us with a fake alien threat. And therefore, they need to spend all this money. So that's our tax dollars, whatever, and fight creating this force in space, which will then be turned on us. That's the basically, if you could encapsulate it.
Really good point. That is a good, nicely done. But I want to tell you a weird thing that's been creeping into this, which is repeatedly The sightings and the footage are happening around water. And they actually seem more content, in my opinion, to stress this water part than the space part. Because remember, they're still doing things in space. They don't want people looking too closely. You get a space infrastructure up there. We haven't sent anyone back to the moon, you know, since 1972. They're going to in 2024. That's 50 years too late. What happened in between? And what happened to all the money? But they like to talk about USOs and all this. They're making it a very key function. As a matter of fact, the beach ball thing with the Jeremy Corbell footage that he got from the Omaha. Oh, I have to tell the Omaha story.
Okay.
Look, I was talking with Gigi Young maybe about 6 months ago. And as will happen sometimes when we're talking, working on a show or something, she'll get a lot of psychic impressions. It just, it happens so regularly with Gigi that you just become used to it. It's part of the thing. But she went so deeply into Omaha and Omaha in relation to the UFO thing and what they were doing with Omaha and how Omaha was manipulated and all this stuff. And I remember I wrote all this stuff down, Omaha. Do you know what that is? And she just kept getting Omaha. The minute that this hit with the strange beach ball footage of this UFO, which is not great footage, but is really, you know, viral and everywhere, and the UAP task force leaked it directly to Corbell, and then immediately the Pentagon was like, yep, that's a confirmation. John Greenwald at the Black Vault was like, wow, you know, it usually takes me like a month to get any kind of confirmation of anything, and here they are, like they're Johnny on the spot. Usually they don't like to say anything. This is a little unnerving. But it was the USS Omaha, and I'll tell you, just again, it's another spooky Gigi moment, but 6 months earlier, she had made me kind of write down all this stuff about Omaha, and so I'm keeping an eye on this one very closely, but you'll notice what Omaha does. Omaha goes back and forth. It's not great footage, and then it goes under the water, and they're like, ooh, splash. So they keep going into this thing about water, you know, the tic-tac thing. It's like they were chasing it off the coast, right? All of these things, the Navy, water, are they going to pull that there's an advanced civilization underwater in the hot zone and that's what's driving all this and that's why all these operations have been around going on off Cuba and Bimini and all the rest of it? We have to be really aware of this because they seem to like pushing the water thing more than they do the space thing in this weird UAP creep world. So watch out for that one. Yes, Miss Olivia.
On that note, Orion 37 says, any relation to the hot zone and directed energy weapons possibly being used on Americans in Cuba? Could you go into that a little bit more?
Yeah, look, when this is really strange for a lot of reasons. And we've had weird things going on in relation to Russia and Cuba that we haven't had going on since the Cuban Missile Crisis in 1962. But let's go with this. Finally, at the end of Obama's administration, they say Cuba's off the terror list and we're going to have normal relations. And we're going to establish diplomatic relations for the first time since 1962, since 1959. Now, what happens is it's kind of bungled and they don't even make much out of it. And the media doesn't really make much out of it. But you'd think this would be gigantic, but it seemed like somebody didn't want it to happen somewhere. So we send these diplomats down there, and they all start showing up with something called Havana syndrome. And that can they can get acoustic concussions, migraines, nausea, you know, blood issues, all kinds of very unusual things that are the trademarks of directed energy weapons. There was a story that came out in mainstream news, and they were like, directed energy weapons may have been used at the White House in November. That's when Trump was still in there. And they had records that the same type of Havana syndrome was being activated. What I found the most interesting about our ambassadors going down to Cuba and then getting out of there after experiencing all these symptoms is the mere fact that when they come back here, they're still harangued. They're still harassed with these symptoms, which means whoever was giving it to him down there is giving it to him here. So it makes me wonder if it is a piece of this group that's inside the government that's doing this. We don't know enough about what's going on with that, but somebody didn't want that to happen. And then during the Trump administration, strangely, that Venezuela situation came up. And Mike Pompeo, who I thought was a terrible Secretary of State and was the former CIA director, seemed to always be trying to stumble Trump into some kind of a war situation. But he got Trump to put Cuba back on the terror list with all this stuff and emotionally, economically starving it. And when I was looking at that, I said to myself, there's something really major happening there in the hot zone that they're trying to do. And Cuba is still the focal point of so much of this. But now President Biden, and I use the term loosely, he's been in office now how many months? 4 months. He hasn't changed that status, even though Obama opened up the embassies there. So what's going on in relation to Cuba? It's a really, really good question. Yes.
This is a great question. Shane Walker, do you think the pipeline hack and shortage of oil is a way to disclose zero-point tech?
Yes. They definitely are trying to roll something else out. And there's something about control of movement in this operation. And I have several theories about it, but I'm just going to describe what it is without the theories. When they did the COVID lockdowns, they were so mysterious, and their major point seemed to be don't drive from this state to this state and keep out of this state if you're from this state and don't fly into this state and all that kind of thing. So it was to prevent movement. And then you saw them do things like block off half the street. Did you see a lot of that? I saw a lot of that in Cambridge. Suddenly half the street was gone. And the explanations are always weird. Well, people should be able, you know, we'll have these walking things. It'll be easy for people, won't have to walk so close together. But really, it was cutting off the cars. Travel, again. They were making it difficult to travel. The pipeline issue, higher gas prices, all this kind of stuff, also makes it harder to travel. So whatever it is, the type of information that they're getting has to do with keeping people in a particular area for an extended period of time. So it very well could relate to this kind of thing that you're talking about, absolutely. Yes.
Scarlet Fire, is the USA rushing to beat China or Russia to the unveiling?
Russian to beat Russian. I like that. Yeah, it's a good point. Here's the thing. China has a space program that's extensive now. They didn't before so much. So all the lies that we've been telling about space, you know, I mean, if you take people up there, if Branson does it and they have space tourism, and they see UFOs going all over the place, then people are going to talk about it. So maybe you have to spill your guts on this now. And you're looking for a way to say, we've kept the secret for 75 years. We've kept it from the public, even though they paid for our research on it and the space infrastructure and all the rest. But what we can do is we can use it as a threat and we can make them the new Soviet Union, and we can have World War III with the aliens, and, you know, everybody will have to live in lockdown, and that'll solve all the weird things we want to do with climate change and population reduction and all the rest. So they can do a lot with this op. I've said it, and I'll keep saying it, but if you thought the COVID op was something, just wait till they really are in our, you can already see the freakiness around it. What I don't like, and I'm not, you know, trying to call out anybody in particular, but you know, guys like Nick Pope and stuff who are, you know, deep in that national security world in the UK, he used to come out and talk about like these different cases and stuff. But now when he shows up on Fox or somewhere, he acts like a fanatic, as if, you know, like the UFOs are targeting us. They have us in their sights and they're just about to, you know, blow up the White House. Like, what are they doing? What are these people doing? And you know, are they just getting excited because they're getting attention or something? I don't know what's going on. But in my opinion, you know, giving this op a free pass on the UFO side, I see the UFO researchers really failing in giving the public, you know, I'd much rather see them, you know, forego television commitments and stuff and just give people real research through their blogs and stuff. because I think they're really doing a disservice to a field which is so manipulated in any case. But to go along with the kind of CIA push on this and to beef up the UFO threat part, I mean, that I think it's really a low state of affairs. And it tells me that you need kind of a new field around UFO research. And I think it's going to split off from this weird CIA thing. And UFO file research can really be transformative, I believe, in terms of our human understanding of where we are in the cosmos, et cetera. That's the work that was Mac was after. That's the work that so many McDonald and so many of these other people were working on. And I don't know. Can you imagine Jim Mars on this?
Like,
he would see right through it. I mean, this is why we miss Jim. Yes.
Okay. So Greg Nakas, how would things be different if Trump was in office? And Ajat says, what does DJ think of Trump's low profile since leaving office? Is he up to something? Is there a covert war going on?
Yeah, Trump's been getting a lot of, he's been consolidating a lot of power on the Republican side. He got Liz Cheney thrown out. That's pretty good. She had a leadership position in the House, but she had tried to vote to, you know, have him impeached, which was absurd. And that whole thing about the Democrats and, you know, the things that were going on there, the Democrats went absolutely psycho even after they thought that they had accomplished this thing, you know, voter fraud, whatever you want to call it. But they were so desperate in that 2 month period to get rid of Trump. They were looking, you know, we're going to have to call the 25th Amendment, call him crazy. John Brennan was out there waving his hands. We have to get Trump out, you know, before January 20th. He was just flipping out. And Brennan had tried from the time that Trump was a private citizen to ruin his aspirations for president. That's very important because Brennan is a real psychopath, and he's a big part of that kind of ex-protect apparatus. So the ex-protect group is really has to protect the UFO file, and they'll disgrace or, you know, they'll do anything basically to keep the secrecy in place. The fact that he had such intense hatred for Trump, regardless of how you regard Trump on the political spectrum, tells me a lot. It tells me that the CIA people in general were absolute fanatics about getting rid of Trump. It's like they woke up day and night just thinking about it. And you have to wonder why. And I believe that they could not pull off the UFO threat with Trump in office. And I think that that's a big crucial part because Trump knew a lot and knows a lot about the UFO file through his uncle, who had the knowledge of the Tesla file, and Vannevar Bush, who was in charge of the UFO file, and his relationship with President Nixon. Those two things, I think, gave Trump a very eerie edge for these people. And I think the Space Force scared the bejesus out of them. As a matter of fact, they're still trying to clean out Trump's people from the Space Force. I noticed that, this is interesting, let's see if I can find it in time. There was a Space Force commander, Alexander Bruce, Forbidden Knowledge TV, did run his story, but he was putting out a book on Marxism, and he was a Space Force commander, but he was one of Trump's hand-picked guys, and they fired him. They fired him after approving the fact that he could put the book out. There it is. And then he came out and said, this is very interesting, today he came out and said this, ex-Space Force commander, Department of Defense videos claimed white people are inherently evil. Can you imagine? Training in the Defense Department. Who's running the Defense Department? That's the Space Force commander that got fired, Matthew Lohmeyer. He was calling out Marxism, and they got rid of him. So I think there's a lot going on there with Trump leftover influence, especially in the Space Force. There's no question about it. Yes.
Allison Murphy wants you to have Alexandra Bruce back on the show. I love, she's killing
yes.
it. If you
oh,
guys
yeah.
do not subscribe to her newsletter, I listen
Absolutely.
To everything she puts out.
ForbiddenKnowledgeTV.net and .com. is it .com now? I think it is.
It's .net.
.net. That's it. Yeah. Alexander, of course, has been on the show a million times and we're great friends. And I'll tell you, she does some excellent research and she knows a lot about UFOs. As a matter of fact, many people don't know that she's authored a half dozen books on interesting subjects, and certainly UFOs, one of them, Philadelphia Experiment, and time travel and things like that. Just incredible work from Alexander. But yeah, we'll definitely have her back on soon. All right, we'll take two more questions.
Ah, I need a few more. Okay, so General Jones, where does Antarctica UFO fit under in with all this?
Yeah, well, it's a good question. Obviously, in those discoveries, just like in the surveys of the hot zone, see, actually, I tend to pay more attention to the hot zone because I think we can get more basic intel about it. Antarctica is quite a mystery because we saw in this great period of time at the end of the Obama administration, they were sending everybody there, including John Kerry. And it was Dr. Joseph Farrell who made a series of blogs about those high-level visitors to Antarctica. And we all know Buzz Aldrin was one of them, and that he tweeted something out like, "I've just seen the devil" or something when he was heading there, and they had to airlift him out. I mean, it was quite a scene, whatever was going on there, whatever they had discovered. The fact they called Buzz in leads me to believe maybe they found something relating to a crashed saucer there, as opposed to ancient ruins. But I think what's interesting about this, and we'll see more about Antarctica, but this, in the hot zone, you have people who work there on a daily basis. You have people who map the ocean floor. You have people who deliver, you have people running boating industries. There's a lot of intel that can be gathered in the hot zone, and it is accessible to us. Bimini, NASA, Cuba, these things, you know, they're within our grasp. And unfortunately, there's a lot of misinformation that comes out about Antarctica, and some of the best information we have about it are based on older reports of people like Admiral Byrd, et cetera, because frankly, they've kept it really, really tight. In some ways, you can get better information on the space program than you can about Antarctica. So I have a kind of a reverse theory on this, which is that if we crack the hot zone, which we have access to, it'll be easier for us to get information on something like Antarctica. Yes.
All right. So I have a lot of questions around aliens.
Yeah.
So Camp Scott wants to know, which off-world race do you think will be chosen to lead this PSYOP? Storm wants to know, do you believe that the governments of the world have signed agreements with aliens?
Oh, I think that there have been meetings. I absolutely think the literature is there. What's interesting is I mentioned Stanton Friedman earlier, but he told me of his deep research on the Eisenhower meeting with very human-looking ETs from the 50s, and that he felt that there was a real strong trail of breadcrumbs to suggest that it actually happened. There's no question that there is the group that we know generally as the Pleiadians look very much like humans, but they kind of project themselves and they look kind of stunning to us. So we regard them as beautiful or angelic. And there are lots of stories about Pleiadians. And I think that that's going to be a whole edge of research that will bring together the more psychic, mystical side of things with the UFO thing in a coherent way without the culty interlopers that we've seen so much of. But certainly groups that we know about, like the Pleiadians, that we've heard something about advanced technology from these kind of Nordic-looking aliens, I think there's enough on the record to suggest that that's true. The Greys are obviously a group. You know, I've interviewed people who've been abducted by Greys, and there's no question that there's a group that looks like that, that does those types of activities. Well, you don't hear so much about abductions now, I think, which is interesting. And you don't hear about the Greys in the CIA UFO op. They want to avoid the Greys. They want to avoid the Pleiadians. They're more after a kind of an amorphous threat idea. So, but I think the types are going to be important to understand going forward. Yes.
Ed Kaufman, might there be two fake alien invasions, one of a fake bad alien group and the second a good alien group with a fake Jesus Christ who will lead the world in a fascist way?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, that whole thing about benevolent aliens, you can do it either way. I mean, they might test it either way. And, you know, you can get Big Brother, who's a major fascist, right? And who you're just afraid of, or you can get Big Brother, who everybody loves, right? You ever see those North Korean get-togethers where they're just, you know, when the old leader died before Kim Jong-un took over, and they were just, I've never seen more hysterical groups.
It was like Elvis died.
It was. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, that type of just deep devotion, you know, they can manipulate it either way. In truth, they've held back humanity's knowledge of the UFO file and off-world civilizations. They've held it in abeyance. So, in fact, we should have access to that information. The thing is, we can't have the weird, tainted, phony CIA fake alien invasion story. We don't need that. And, you know, the media and the UFO researchers running over a cliff for that one, they need to do it without us. And we need to be able to tell those people, you know, and really, look, it's very simple. In terms of UFO researchers, I think it's very simple to say to them, we don't want the CIA to give us this information. The CIA are known liars. So we want to work with people who aren't in that. And so respectfully, we don't want you to support CIA infiltrators into the UFO file. They've already controlled it. Now they're trying to come out and spin it and use, you know, people in the community who we, you know and have read their books for years, you know. And those people used to be dead set against the CIA. I can tell you because I grew up reading them all. And, you know, I went back and checked on a lot of these researchers who are embracing this now. And I'll tell you, they used to have a lot. And they sounded like me on steroids in relation to the UFOs and, you know, in relation to the CIA ops. And they knew, they understood it. But somehow the TTSA and Elizondo and all that have softened the CIA in this. It's supposed to be like, oh, that's CIA. They've been trying to get these files out of the government. And the government is the bad guys, you know. And the CIA are the good guys. They're the whistleblowers. The CIA is the government, and Elizondo is the government, and Mellon is the government, you know, so they're not whistleblowers. Sorry.
Josh Sandy, do you believe people will fall for this op?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah. I mean, because a lot of it's programming, and it's easier to program people through phones and tablets and the media. So, but they're going to have a very big problem, and I think they've anticipated this. This is kind of me thinking about it in a broad spectrum, but I think the domestic terror bill, they're trying to include what would be a very resistant group, which would be the Christian community. And they want a way to target that Christian community as a group that would object the most to their false alien op. So they want to, on one hand, co-opt them, but also marginalize them. And I think that part of the domestic terror thing is a crackdown on Christians, interestingly enough, because I think in that deep state, they fear coherent groups that work together and have deeper ideals. And, you know, there's all kinds of different Christian communities, and, you know, there are always these stories about Joel Osteen and, you know, the kind of Rolls Royce Christians and stuff. So, you know, there are all kinds of different ways to look at this, but just fundamentally, without going into it too detailed, it's certainly on the alien side, that's the group that they would watch for resisting, you know, this acknowledgement, let's say. And then they might try to sell the demonic thing to the Christians and be like, the aliens are demons. And we've seen some of that, actually. We've seen them, you know, DeLong pulled some of that, being like, oh, the CIA has been fighting alien demons. They're heroes, you know, that whole trip. But, you know, largely, if you think about a guy like DeLong, this is interesting. There were people who looked at me and talked to me about this a few years ago and said, DeLong's going to make them get the technology forward. We're going to have, you know, the alien technology. He's going to build his own craft and all that stuff. What does he talk about doing now? He talks about having TV shows about deep subjects. And interestingly enough, when he was left out of the whole 60 Minutes rigmarole and Chris Mellon was out there, he tweeted something that I found interesting. He said, "We were the ones who got all this in motion. We, you know, like I was part of it." And then he said, "What if those aliens aren't from space at all, but they're from right here?" Well, that made me think again of this weird water thing that they're trying to do. So is that something that they blabbed to DeLong and that he was unhappy, he was left out of the party, so he tweeted that? It could be. But something weird is going on. The communication on this has issues, but unfortunately, yeah, I think the alien invasion thing would have some real believers. Okay, two more questions for real, though.
Ramblin' Lamb, would DJ ever consider running for office? He'd have a lot of support.
I'll run for UFO file office. How's that? Yeah, you know, I would like to see totally new political forces at work, a more of a libertarian style stripe, or at least something that was very independent. And I'd be 1,000,000,000%. We see how important, for example, governors were, and governors who believed in freedom this go round with the COVID fascism that was going on. They made a huge difference, and they are now. And the other ones, the real psychos like Gavin Newsom and Gretchen Whitmer, there were so many to choose from. Cuomo, these were some of the worst people, some of the, you know, they're some of the worst examples of humanity and corrupt leadership that I've witnessed. And so it's high time for something totally different. And I think there's a huge upheaval happening there on the political side, and we're going to see more of that for sure. But right now I'm content to be a dark journalist. Yes, one more.
Okay. A cult fan.
Yeah.
What would DJ say to the CIA agents who are listening to this tonight? Are they beyond reaching? Is there any way that they could do any actual good for America?
Well, you could reform the entire, I mean, Kennedy said that you needed to smash it into a million pieces and spread it to the wind. That's probably true. It's probably beyond reform. You could reform based on the original idea and strip out all of the OPC aspects, or you could have the entire organization swear in public to the Constitution and just, you know, have a tremendous house cleaning. But there's illness in the structure of the deep state and the CIA. And if there was an agent that I knew, I would feel sorry for them being a part of that organization. And it would be unfortunate to know someone who had a deal with an extra-constitutional group. But certainly I think you could have a clandestine spy service that could gather valuable information, and be a very noble profession. No question about it.
And we were talking about how, this op may actually backfire because it may empower actual people, witnesses, to come forward and tell what they know.
Right.
And break their NDAs and risk their pension. So something good could come out of this.
Yeah, well, we've already seen that the overreach, although the overreach showed us how many people would sheepishly go along with something, and that, you know, were afraid of the state or whatever, we also saw that this overreach in relation to the lockdowns and things like that and the worldwide dictatorship that, you know, the kind of fascism that we've seen around the pharmaceutical takeover, I think is a good way to put it. But we saw that it's a lot of people looked at, you know, at the government twice the way that they hadn't before, even though you saw so many people going along with it. Something else happened there, which is the trust factor went incredibly down for certain people. And they started to look at this and say, what? So Naomi Wolf, okay, she's an excellent example. She knows, all right, she's run political campaigns. She's very brainy. She understands what's been going on and how the public's been manipulated. She was a liberal Democrat. She helped run Al Gore's campaign in 2000. I mean, she's deep in that system. And when she saw this, she realized they were rolling in fascism. And she, you know, puts us basically 5 minutes to midnight on that clock, because what they had done with the lockdowns and all the rest of it is they had separated people so that they couldn't talk and couldn't get together. And these are all violations of the Constitution. And they were using these false emergency powers and sometimes just making things up, that powers that didn't exist at all. So we can see that had this not happened, this incredible overreach, somebody like Naomi Wolf, for example, wouldn't be on the side that we're looking at right now. And like I said, I'll repeat it again. If you thought the COVID op was bad, wait till they get to the UFO invasion op, because the CIA is driving that pack of horses and they're going for it. But, you know, there's enough awareness. This is the interesting thing. And, you know, we've talked about von Braun and things like that. There's enough awareness around a strong enough circle of people to really collapse this. But the, you know, the stopping of the UAP thing, that using that term, that's a big one. That'll deflate a lot of this too, because what you put in a name, remember the homeland was a name. You know, the United States has a constitution, right? People are guaranteed freedom. The homeland is just some weird emergency creep show set up by Bush and Cheney. So when you think of it that way, we're really in a different phase of this. The more our awareness grows, the more we affect other people around this. And honestly, it should be a real dividing factor for people on the UFO side, because I do feel that getting fed CIA narratives as truth and then having people in positions of responsibility in this field of UFO research or independent research in general, you know, any association with the CIA should collapse their credibility, unless it's like a renegade CIA agent who was giving real information, which is the phony story of Elizondo, who isn't giving anything out and still works. By the way, I have my own sources in the Pentagon, and he still works for the government on a regular basis. So anything that somebody would tell you to the contrary is complete bunk. So let's keep that in mind. And with that,
actually, let me throw one last question, just because it's universally a positive one.
Okay, yes.
I think Celtic Dove, DJ, what's the best intel or advice to offer folks in prep for PSYOP, along with avoiding the CIA BS?
Oh, absolutely. Well, anything that has to do with a threat or an emergency has to be analyzed five times down, as opposed to something that's presented a different way. If something's presented as like, there's something out there, we need to research it, that's one thing. But if it's presented as a threat, then you put about five times the magnification on it. And you make them force them to give you information that proves beyond a reasonable doubt, like in a courtroom, that it's a threat. That kind of thing, you know, the public, they think that they can do like an Independence Day thing on the public and that they can drag us all along with it. But the first stages of that, they'd have to have like a homeland security for aliens in place. That's what they're trying to do. And there's incredible assets involved with that. And they're trying night and day in the media and all these different channels. And so one, we need to be aware ourselves, but we need to, when people bring this up, you know, just to say, well, you know, look, they're running an op, you know, even if you believe in UFOs, of course, you know, I've read about UFOs. I've met people who've had extraordinary experiences with them. I've interviewed them on this program. I've interviewed the best of the best on the UFO field on this program. And the reality of UFOs is beyond doubt for me. But how that can be used by an insidious agency to control and beyond, you know, an entire deep state apparatus to control humanity, it's already been demonstrated by what we saw in 2020. And when they get their hands on this, watch out. Strangely enough, a lot of the people who were CIA related on that TTSA board all had this kind of biological background. And they were all doctors, molecular biology. And when I would point that out to people like Dr. Farrell, you know, it's a very disturbing little thing to note that part of this could be, oh, you know, those UFOs are here and they have a UFO virus and you need the antidote, you know. So what they're trying to do and what we can prevent them from doing is create a global control grid that they can run from space. This is really what they're about right now. And then they'll move beyond that too. But that's what they're trying to, you know, they're trying to create a prison planet. There's no question about it. And with that, we will wrap up. Remember, of course, when talking about this, the Trump-Nixon connection, I'm telling you, this is a very key factor. And in reports going forward, we're going to be bringing more and more of that out. Friday, we have a very special X-Series show for you. It's X101. And we have some great guests coming up for you also in the coming weeks. Go to darkjournalist.com. Sign up for the newsletter if you haven't already. Sign up and become a subscriber. Get behind the work that we're doing. And you're going to want to be a subscriber with all the exciting things that we have coming up for members soon as well. And Miss Olivia?
I have a bunch of super chatters to thank.
Yes.
Okay. Sean Juck, a cult fan. Eurythmia is fun. Tipping cows in Wisco. Charles Marlowe, McHatton, Tweeter Trash, Doreen Hewitt, James Mirabal, Marty Ferguson, Barbalit Snyder, Mike D, Josh Randall, Stephen, Gaia Sophia, Robert Schneider, Alien Scientist, Roosevelt Media News, Danilene Herbert, and Kelly Green. Thank you so much.
Wow, fantastic. Well, we really appreciate your support. And it makes all the difference for the
world. Hey, work. Ben Dover is in the chat. Haven't seen you in a while.
Hey, Ben. And to all our subscribers, you know, it's your support that keeps us going and allows us to bring these reports to you. And we have some very exciting reports coming up for you here in May and June, along with some very interesting announcements to make coming up for the summer. So with that, we will see you on Friday, and I'll do a couple of shout outs here. That's a pretty good name. I like that. Lee Veltman. It's great to see you, sir. Steve Whetstone, Ted Brenneman, Nicholas, Sandra Sword, a cult fan, of course. It's great to see you. Seeker of Truth. I know Deborah was out there earlier. Great to have you here.
David Tormina. Hey, Breach.
Excellent. Najat, it's great to have you out there. I know Kate is out there. It's great to see you. Slick Dissident.
I like that name.
Gigi Abbey. Karen Carpenter. Shane Walker. Bubble Dancing. Wow. Michael Golpe. Fantastic. You have your friend from California following now. Fantastic. Wow, we will see Melissa Crimson. Excellent. Josh, Brenda Fisher. Great people. Scarlet Fire. Wow, Lady Zaga. Just a tremendous group in the ideas room tonight. The questions were off the charts.
They were fantastic. That's By fun. The way, a lot of people are mentioning that they, they were booted, you know, the show knocked them out and they had to kind of come back in.
Oh, wow.
So we had some issues.
Huh. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. Well, we ran over 2 hours tonight, which is extraordinary. I thought we were doing about 90 minutes, but you know how things go around here. We will see you all next Friday, and have a fantastic week. We'll be very, you know, we're going to be watching this UAP task force and the things that are coming up here for June and all the moves of, you know, the President Biden administration in relation to the domestic terror bill. And we'll be keeping you up to date with reports on that in addition to the X series and the interviews we'll be bringing you. So thank you very much for joining us. And, you know, it says end broadcast, but never really ends after all. And the last word goes to you.
Froyo.
Yo, yo, yo. We'll see you all Friday, everyone. Thank you so much. Gary Hart in the hot sun. That was last week. Have a great night, everyone.